sound of the caravan bell still echoes in the ancient expanse of the Silk Road. It is an endless, aged path for bonding nations of the near and far, as if the connection had emerged from the annals of history to vociferate an eternal message of affinity with invisible vocal cords. The Silk Road, as though a vital vein, connects various cultures on its way, enabling the interchange of experiences, customs, and traditions. Amidst all this, the Sino-Iranian cultural interactions on the Silk Road have always been vigorous and robust. In the course of Sino-Iranian millennial reciprocities, countless scholars, scientists, craftsmen, politicians, artists, and merchants have been nurtured. These people through the ages have embarked on numerous journeys between the two countries, ensuring the constancy and durability of bilateral cultural relations. The Silk Road has been fading on the pages of history after multitudinous years, so as to emerge anew and revivify the time-honored kinship between Iran and China.
I'm Ven Yusu, and as I was saying, after retirement, I've now become professor of China's Radio and Television University. I studied Russian language at Beijing's Foreign Languages College, and after graduation in 1954 Christian calendar, went on to read Persian literature in China's radio and television school, where I then worked at the Radio World Service until retirement. I still work there as anchor, news translator, and writer. This is Radio China's International Service. Dear listeners, today I'll be seeking to acquaint you with the Persians' village in China, which is a historical proof to the Sino-Iranian friendly relations. The city of Yangju in the distant past used to be a famous commercial hub in China. The number of Persians who arrived in it by sea or the Silk Road was quite many. In the east of Yangju, there is a village called Bosijan, meaning the village of the Persians. This village is at least 600 years old. The Bosi River, too, passes through the heart of this village.
At the entrance of the village, there is a tablet upon which is inscribed Bosi Juan in Chinese and the village of the Persians in Farsi script. The Sino-Iranian cultural ties have been very rich since the bygone era. And the same holds true now. The Silk Road linked the two countries, and now one could safely say that the traces of Persian impact on China's culture are vividly detectable in many areas.
1994, the provincial government, by people's demand, erected a Koshk memorial
in Persian style, comprising a corridor, a well, a plaque, a pool, and flower pots.
In order to reach Busijan village, we set out on the Yangju Road to see some signs of the past. After several hours of driving, though, despite reaching the village, we failed to find the registered signs, as if they had not survived the ravages of modern times and had completely vanished.
In China, the majority of classical Persian literature has already been rendered into Chinese, and translators are now busy with contemporary Iranian poetry. The Persian village chronicle is carved in stone on a memorial tablet in Kushk, the translation of which follows: the village of the Persians. In the distant past, the Persian village was known as Jushugah. As of the Tang Dynasty era, Iranian merchants traveled a lot here and enjoyed the people's respect and lived peacefully alongside them. In a year of torrential rain, a Persian trader led the people in repelling bandits and criminals, and in this way, he saved their lives by sacrificing his own and showed his bravery in this way. The enemy threw the hero's body into the river, and the water took in the bloodied body of the brave man. The ruddy waters became the symbol of the hero's selflessness and gallantry. The people then laid him to rest near the village and named Jushuga the Persian village. Since then, people have been remembering the hero every year by observing the Porse ceremonies. Dear listeners, the word Bosi in the Chinese language does not have any other meaning than the ancient land of Persia. Other than the village name to accentuate the hero's memory, the river too has been named as Bosi River.
In the late 9th and early 10th centuries, and concurrent with the Samanian dynasty rule in Iran, relations between China and Persia experienced great expansion. In light of the fact that in this period the Farsi language had been vastly prevalent in Central Asia, this language also spread to China, mixing with the people's lives.
Many years have passed, and the dust of history has settled on the ancient village of the Persians. Today, it is rather difficult to determine exactly when the village was named. No material document as having been left by the Persians has been discovered yet. However, epic tales and cultural phenomenon connected with the history of that martyred Persian hero linger on. It is amazing how, despite the passage of centuries, the village's name hasn't been changed, and there are still distinctions available, such as Busi Restaurant, Busi Inn Barber's Shop, and Busi Clinic. In China, there are five foreign religions that were brought here and which all are related to Iranians. For instance, the Buddhist religion was introduced to China by a Persian prince of the Parthian Empire whose name was Ashka. The Buddhist sacred books were translated into Chinese in that period. After the Buddhism, the religion of Mani or the Manichaean creed also the Nestorian faith entered China by the Persians. And Muslims, I mean Islam, came here during the Yuan, that is the Mongol era. It was in that period that many Iranians came to China and settled here. In the Mongol period, Persian became an international language on the Silk Road. In the Mongol rule too, there was a special chamber whose official documents were all translated into Farsi. At that time, Persian was the official tongue, and all documents would be prepared in a Farsi version too, in addition to Chinese or Mongolian.
With the propagation of Islam throughout China as a new religion and people's familiarization with it, the ever-increasing usage of Farsi as the language of the new religion gained prevalence. The unity between the new faith and the Persian language was reason enough for new converts, especially of the learned and erudite, to consider learning Farsi too, beside Islamic religious principles. This elevated Farsi to a special status due to its rich mystical literature. Of the uncovered works from the ancient city of Gaochang in northwestern China, a Chinese merchant's letter in Farsi has been found, which speaks of the Persian language predominance among the people of that region.
Farsi among Muslims now is dominant. But as people all converse in Chinese, Persian can only be found as words in their lives. A word or two might be found in a whole sentence. The five daily prayers in China are all named in Farsi, although with Chinese pronunciation, like the morning prayer, Namaze Banda, the other or afternoon prayer, Namaze Digar, the evening prayer, Namaze Shamu, and the nighttime prayer, Khufutan. This is how they refer to them.
The carriers of Iranian Islamic culture to China are many. However, a few of them shine with stellar luminescence. One of these brilliant stars is Sayyid Shamsuddin. He was born in 1211 AD in the greater Khorasan region of Iran and during the Yuan dynasty reign in the Yunnan province in the southwest of China assumed governorship. Based on his own merits and competence, he managed to rise high in the government of Mongol emperors of China. Even when he was barely 19 years old, he succeeded to take office as governor of a large portion of the Shanxi province of Mongolia.
A well-known name in China is that of a mariner called Zheng Kuo. He was a descendant of from a fifth generation descendant of Shamsuddin. We all know first name was Sambao. In Chinese, it's written Sambao, but most people don't realize that this name is derived from Farsi, from the word Seshambe. From Shambe, actually. Because in Yunnan province, where they can't pronounce sh, and instead they use s, Shambe was uttered as Sambe. And there you go on the seaman's name. I mean Sambo. That comes from Sambe. That's the story anyway.
Shamsuddin held various official posts with four of the Mongol emperors, such portfolios as chief justice, the court's special inspector, military commander, the court's consultative chief, and many others. During the rule of Kublai Khan, he assumed premiership. Eventually, based on his many abilities, Shamsuddin was chosen as the plenipotentiary governor of Yunnan province and was sent there on assignment, along with an entourage of military personnel, companions, and of course, his family. Shamsuddin's descendants can still be found in this province. Such people as the famous navigator Zhen He, who traveled many times to various destinations in the Middle East, and the Hormuz Strait in the Persian Gulf. Among Chinese people, he is regarded as a legendary hero.
All I know is that Shamsuddin was very active in propagating Islam, for which he's done a lot. Initially in Sichuan province and then in Yunnan. And That famed navigator, I mean Zhen He too, traced his ancestry back to him. He was Shamsuddin's fifth generation descendant, and Zhen He himself had set sail seven times for expedition and visited the Hormuz Strait three times.
Gradually, in the course of history, the Silk Road as the gateway to cross-continental communications gave way to the modern achievements of the contemporary time, such as telephony, radio, television, and most recently, the Internet. These media constitute an invisible Silk Road, connecting cultures and expediting tremendously their interchanges. China's international radio is one example of these active modern-day Silk Roads.
China's international radio service began operating in October 1957, and 50 years has passed since. From its inception, it's had nearly 200 people working here. And now I can say there are 18 people altogether working in the Farsi section.
News-making cultural interactions between China and Iran are as robust as ever and are poised to further the brilliant bygone era by ever more enhancing communications.
I must add here that although the Farsi section of Chinese international radio has a history of 51 years, but it is still young. I mean, it's a young department. We strive to arrive at a novel method of creating a new Silk Road between the two countries. Nowadays, we have something called the Internet, something modern, which would only accelerate and elevate interactions.
The reminiscences of the bygone era are still alive amid the sinuous course of winding roads and camel caravans. Silken memories made of friendship and munificence between the people of the past, where hands meet to create culture and civilization on the bedrock of history. Today still, Sino-Iranian relations persist in commercial, cultural, political, scientific, and media-related forms. In terms of media affairs, Iran and China have both set up Chinese and Farsi language radio stations, which have an active role in exchanging information and news stories.
The Persian language, just like Chinese, is as old as history. Farsi, I mean, the Iranian nation, similar to that of China, is very ancient indeed. Two civilized languages, two civilization-creating nations, and this civilization can be witnessed best in language, and the Farsi language is indeed very memorable.
I've been attracted to Iranology, and I have been pursuing that topic, which is extremely rich. I hope we can keep doing that for more years, for tens or more years, in fact, for as long as I live.
For centuries, the fervent devotees of the boundless ocean of Persian culture and literature have been gravitating toward this cynosure to delve into its unfathomable depths and discover its priceless pearls.